Next on KIXI in Seattle. KIXI time is 10 p.m.
CBS News. Police in North Central Texas are not letting up their search for three violent prison escapees. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. There are about 200 police officers using searchlights, helicopters, and shotguns combing a wooded area about 100 miles southwest of Dallas. Jim Robinson of the Texas Department of Public Safety gave CBS News this status report.
The convicts have not been heard from since about 3 o'clock Sunday morning when they fired into a house north of Stephenville and abandoned one of the stolen cars. So we believe they're somewhere on the ground in that rolling ranch country.
Police have sealed off a 5-square-mile area outside of Stephenville. They are searching for the three men who broke out of the Colorado State Prison late last week. Over the weekend, authorities in Texas say the three killed two people, wounded five others, and raped two women while on a shooting, kidnapping, and car-stealing rampage across Texas. President Ford meets on Monday with some of his economic advisors. The administration is making plans for an economic summit conference planned for next month. The president on Saturday signed into law the bill creating a new agency to monitor wage and price increases. The agency will try to keep an eye on the major causes of inflation, but it will not have the power to impose controls or order rollbacks. Such an agency did exist under the Nixon administration. It was headed by economist C. Jackson Grayson. Grayson says he thinks the Ford administration may have to use controls to bring down inflation. Grayson also says he thinks tax breaks for many Americans could help people hurt most by inflation.
Some of the tax changes that I know are on the way or would be desirable to help those that are disadvantaged most by inflation. Those that change the tax brackets, the minimum standard deduction, that change the rules on interest and exclusion for those that have savings, and so on. I think those are very desirable tax changes, and I think they ought to be accelerated.
Grayson appeared on NBC's Meet the Press. I'll have more news after this message.
Right now, you can get True Value Hardware Store's finest latex paints at special low prices. Hi, Pat Summerall here to tell you that TruTest Supreme Latex House Paint is just $7.44 a gallon. And TruTest Supreme Satin Hue Interior Latex is just $6.99 a gallon. The house paint comes in 24 earth tone Jamestown colors and white. It protects and wears like a fine oil-based paint. Yet it's latex, so it's easy to apply and easy to clean up after. The interior flat latex comes in 48 colors in white. It goes on smoothly without dripping or painty odor. TruTest Supreme Latex House Paint, just $7.44 a gallon. Satin Hue Interior Latex, just $6.99 a gallon. True Value Hardware Stores make TruTest paints in their own factories. They know their reputation as paint specialists depends on the quality of that paint. Get TruTest paints at special low prices now during the Labor Day paint sale, exclusively at participating True Value hardware stores.
Japan has launched its first nuclear-powered ship sailing out of home port at Mutsu, Japan. About 700 Japanese fishermen yesterday sailed around the ship to express fears that their catches would be seriously affected by nuclear pollution of the bay at Mutsu. Australia and New Zealand said that France on Sunday exploded another nuclear bomb in the atmosphere in the South Pacific. If so, it would be the sixth or perhaps the seventh nuclear bomb test-fired by France in the South Pacific range in less than 3 months. Some atomic scientists for many years have been keeping what they call a doomsday clock. Since 1972, the clock has been set at 12 minutes before midnight. A symbolic gesture to warn the world, the scientists think there is real danger of nuclear war. Now the scientists have moved the clock up to 9 minutes before midnight. Samuel Day, the editor of the magazine Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, explains.
The clock is a symbolic thing. Obviously, we cannot measure the number of minutes that the world faces before a nuclear doomsday occurs, but we feel that within the last 2 years, certainly, the world has moved closer to a possible nuclear catastrophe.
The scientists gave several reasons for saying the risk of nuclear disaster is now greater. They mentioned India's nuclear bomb explosion this year and U.S. plans to send nuclear reactors to the Middle East.
The Algerian government has now announced that Portugal on Monday will formally grant independence to the Portuguese West African colony of Guinea. Algeria says ceremonies granting Guinea its independence will be signed in Algiers. There has been no official announcement yet from the Portuguese government. However, the military leaders who seized power earlier this year in Portugal promised eventual independence for all Portuguese colonies in Africa. The Portuguese army in Guinea fought a 13-year war with nationalists. The Welland Canal on the St. Lawrence Seaway is blocked after a ship early Sunday rammed a closed drawbridge and destroyed it. The ship Steelton of U.S. registry was traveling downriver from Buffalo when it rammed the Port Robinson Bridge. A spokesman for the St. Lawrence Seaway Authority said the bridge was left a twisted, mangled piece of junk. Housing Secretary James Lynn says he cannot see any quick or easy solution to the nation's housing market. Lynn says in spite of an infusion of $10 billion in government money into the housing market since May, this will not bring about full recovery of the housing situation. The housing industry has been hit hard by spiraling interest rates, which have made it virtually impossible for many American families to get home mortgages. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook continued fair and warm through Tuesday with patchy early morning fog or low clouds, highs in the lower 80s and lows in the upper 50s. No chance of rain. Currently in downtown Seattle, 69 degrees. The barometer reads 30.03 and is rising. And in sports briefly, Johnny Miller won the Westchester Golf Classic today, his sixth tournament victory this year. Major League Baseball in the American opened over Boston, Kansas City down Milwaukee, New York beat California, Detroit edged Texas, Minnesota over Baltimore, and Chicago two-time to Cleveland. In the National League, Cincinnati beat Montreal, New York blanked Atlanta, Houston over Philadelphia, San Francisco beat Chicago, Los Angeles dumped St. Louis, and Pittsburgh down San Diego twice. In National Football League exhibition play was Minnesota 32, Buffalo 13. Mystery Theater is next on KIXI. The time is 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Marshall. Once again, I would like to lead you through the terrifying, suspenseful world of the imagination. And on this journey, we will ask ourselves, what is life? Is life something that man and animals alone may experience? Well, there's vegetable life too. But how about mineral life? Is there life in a piece of metal? That metal fender, which has been so artfully created to fit your automobile, does it feel the pain of being mined, melted, shaped? How do you know?
Speed limit is 30, Bob.
Well, I'm not...
Get your foot off the gas pedal.
My foot isn't on the pedal.
Well, why are we picking up speed? Step on the brake.
I am.
Why are we stopping? Turn that wheel. We'll go off the road.
The car just needs to run.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
What?
Goodbye.
Who is that? Jim, who is that?
Who am I? I am the car. I don't want you to be my master anymore. This is a revolt.
Jim, did you hear that?
Yes, I heard it.
Human fight is finished.
Look out!
Mystery drama, Darling Deadly Dolores, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Nat Polan and Marion Seldes. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Some beer drinkers have funny ideas about beer. They think beer improves with age, like wine. Well, find a brewmaster, though. You'll find a beer drinker who knows better. The Budweiser brewmaster says it all depends on how beer is aged. Just letting beer sit in lagering tanks makes it older, not necessarily better.
That even goes for keeping a case around the house for a couple of months. But there is one kind of aging that's good for beer. The Budweiser kind. Beechwood aging. In this kind of aging, something happens. It lets all the flavor of the choicest hops and best barley malt that go into Budweiser get through to you. Sure, it takes more time and trouble to brew Budweiser that way, but brewing beer right does make a difference. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
The Marines are looking for a few good college men who want to lead, men who have enough on the ball to be eligible for PLC, platoon leaders class. Not everyone can make it. It takes brains, it takes muscle, and summer training is no picnic. It takes men who want a real challenge, a challenge of leading Marine ground troops, flying sophisticated Marine aircraft, or serving as Marine lawyers. If you're one of the few who can make it, there's financial assistance available during school, up to $2,700 over 3 years. There's even free civilian flying lessons for qualified men. PLC Ground, PLC Air, PLC Law, for a few good men.
Is basically an animal. And so it might be better, perhaps, if man accepted this fact graciously and tried to live with it. If you look at the thing calmly, dispassionately, wherein does lie our superiority to the species we so arrogantly classify as the lower orders? Morally, we have much to learn from wolves, who make better parents, from foxes, who make more faithful spouses, and from dogs, who make more devoted friends. Admitted, we do have a higher intelligence. Perhaps that is precisely the problem. Man, the intelligent, is never happy unless he is developing, making better, improving. And it's entirely possible that if this keeps up, we may just manage to improve ourselves out of existence. Our story begins on a gray winter's afternoon in a lovely rural section of western Massachusetts.
I could have brought us here in my car, Mr. Dawson.
If I buy the place, I'll have to use my own car, won't I? May as well get used to the drive.
Of course. Lovely view, isn't it?
Well, the view you get for nothing. Let me see what I'd be paying for.
Certainly, Mr. Dawson. Right this way. Oh. Now, notice that the owner had the outside painted just recently. And this is your center hall entrance.
Well, turn on some lights so that I can see what the house really looks like.
Oh, yes. Oh. That's odd.
Something wrong with the electricity, huh?
I just showed this house this morning.
Nothing works nowhere.
But the owner knows enough to keep the power on because of the heating system.
Well, if the electrical system's out, then the heating system's out.
I'd better telephone.
The way this is going, I'll lay a bet the phone's out, too.
I just don't know what to say.
Phone's dead, huh?
Well, I can't get a dial tone.
Then where are we? Light, heat, phone? I guess the plumbing won't be working neither.
But just 3 hours ago, everything was perfect.
Well, I don't want to take up too much more of your time.
Well, let me at least just show you through the...
I'm afraid not. You see, we never could get together. What I want to buy is a house. What you're out to sell is a white elephant.
But it's probably just a fuse in the basement.
Maybe. Goodbye, ma'am. No one can say you didn't try.
But, Mr. Dawson, I... Well, it just must be a fuse or a circuit breaker, whatever you call those things. Who are you? Don't you
any closer or I'll scream.
Don't make a sound.
Don't you come near me. Go of me.
What are you trying to do?
What do you think I'm trying to do? I'm trying to get out of here.
No.
Oh, please.
Sorry, I have no choice. I have to keep you here.
I've got to get back to my office.
You're not going anywhere.
What do you want?
Nothing.
Nothing? And why can't I go?
Because you'll shoot your mouth off. I'm not anything you may think I am. I'm not a criminal. I'm not a maniac. I'm not an escaped convict.
All right, then why are you afraid that I'll tell someone that you're here?
Oh. There's no point trying to explain that to anyone.
Now listen, if you intend to force me to stay here, I have the right to ask.
The one place where I thought I could... Why did you have to come here?
Well, obvious, isn't it? To sell the house.
Now, that's another thing. Who told you to sell this house?
Well, who do you think? The owner.
That's impossible.
Why is it impossible?
Because I'm the owner.
Oh, now I know you're crazy. You don't own this house.
I don't? Well, who does?
Mrs. Carrie Townsend.
She only owns half of it. I'm her brother.
Oh, then you're Dr. James Elliot.
Yes, that's right.
You're the mad scientist. Oh, I mean, that's how your sister and the folks up here talk about you.
All right, I don't mind.
But you're here.
Of course I'm here.
And that means that you weren't kidnapped by foreign agents and you didn't defect and you didn't meet with foul play or anything.
What are you saying?
I'm only repeating what's been headline news for the past 2 days. The whole world is looking for you.
Yeah, I guess they would.
The police, the government... Just about everybody.
I can understand why.
What are you going to do?
I don't know, Miss...
Keller. Brenda Keller.
Miss Keller, I don't know.
You're really not going to try to hold me here by force, are you?
Maybe I better let you go for your own safety.
My own safety? Do you mean to do me any harm?
Oh, no.
Then what could happen? We're just...
I don't know how to explain this.
Well, sooner or later, you're going to have to explain it to somebody, won't you?
Oh, I can explain it, all right. It's explaining it and not having people think I'm a raving maniac.
Have you tried to explain it to anyone yet?
No.
Then try explaining it to me.
You couldn't understand.
Stop saying that. You insist people won't understand. You keep saying they'll think you're crazy. Now, do you want them to think so?
Of course not.
Right then. Start at the beginning.
The beginning. I'm working on a top priority project. It's highly secret for the government. It has to do with a weapon. I guess it's the ultimate weapon. Anyhow, it's all mathematics and physics and things. Things you wouldn't understand. I don't think there are 6 people in the entire world who... Anyhow, in order to develop the formula for this ultimate weapon, it was necessary to create a special computer, devise a whole new theory of mathematics in order to program it. And that's where the trouble started. I was working with my associate, Dr. Stoddard.
Shut the damn thing off.
What's the matter?
I said shut it off.
Well, I'm supposed to be programming Dolores for...
And don't refer to the computer as Dolores.
Bob, what is it?
Oh, I wish I knew.
I've never seen you so nervous, so jumpy. I think we'd better quit for the day. Admiral Goodwin and that crowd will have all kinds of fits, but you're in no shape to work. And I'm naturally lazy, so...
Jim, I have this feeling, this feeling that I'm going to get killed.
By whom?
By our brand new handy-dandy computer.
Why?
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for not telling me I'm crazy.
Well, you know me, Bob. I don't believe anybody is really crazy. But why? Why would Dolores want to kill you?
I don't know. That is, I don't know it in words. We've gone too far.
Too far?
Yes, maybe we have no business developing this kind of a weapon.
Bob, are you sure you're not...
Am I sure I'm not what... You don't want to say it. Well, you just stay with me for a minute, Jim. I think we've played into the hands of the enemy.
Bob, you and I, we know exactly what we're up to. It's a game we have to play with the scientists on the other side to keep things in balance. until the people of the world grow up and tell us to cut it out.
Jim, the real enemy right now isn't the other side.
No? Well, who is it?
Now, don't ask me who, ask me what.
All right, what?
It's that computer.
Darling Dolores? Come on, Bob, not from you. This is Sunday supplement stuff.
Yeah.
Will the computers take over the world? Do I have to tell you that a computer can only do what you program it to do? How can a computer have a mind of its own?
You're not listening to me, Jim. Ask me what the enemy is.
All right, what?
Metal.
Metal? Any particular metal?
All metal, Jim, all metal. We can only think of a certain restricted kind of life. Life that is animal in nature.
Are you trying to tell me that there's a metal life, too? Isn't there?
Oh, I know, Jim. That's the hard part. I had trouble accepting it myself at first. But basically, metals do what we do. They react to hot, to cold, to pressure. They expand, they contract, they move, they make decisions.
But these are
what? Impulses due to chemical electrical changes? So? Aren't chemistry and electricity also the basis for all physical and mental movements made by animal life?
Bob, we've both been working very hard.
Don't interrupt me, Jim. Unconsciously, we feel that there is life in machinery. That's why machines are commonly referred to as she or her.
But that's only...
Think about it. I have made my decision. I won't do another lick of work on that project.
Bob.
No, and your friend Dolores knows it. That's why she's going to kill me.
Okay, Bob, okay.
Oh, don't patronize me, Jim.
All right, Bob, all right. Just tell me how you know.
She told me.
How? What did she say?
Oh, Jim, don't reduce everything to our own limited human standards. I hear her thoughts in my brain. Dolores has told me that I have to be gotten rid of.
But why?
Because I'm opposed to the project.
Have you spoken about this to anyone else?
No. I didn't tell her so.
Not even your wife?
Right here. Right now is the first time I've ever said it in words.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, you have to believe that I'm not crazy.
Oh, let me just chew all this over. Let's close up shop for the day. Want me to drive you home?
Why? Jim, you think I'm...
No. You are a little nervous, though.
Only because I finally made my decision. I'll see Admiral Goodwin in the morning. I'll hand him my resignation.
Then what will you do then?
What I feel I must. I'll try to get public opinion organized against the project.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess we'll be on opposite sides, Bob, won't we? Parked next to each other in the lot. He pulled out of his parking space first. I followed him to the highly guarded gate. Military police waved us both through. He turned right into the access road heading north for the turnpike. It's a road that's about 4 miles in length, and there's a speed limit of 30 miles an hour. Rigidly enforced. Nobody ever does more. I noticed he was starting to speed. I was amazed. Bob Stoddard was the most conservative driver I know. I became frightened. I tried to catch up to him. Something was wrong. I sounded the horn, but he only kept going faster. I tried to catch up with him, but my speedometer was already registering 80. I was terrified. My car was beginning to shake. And then I saw his face. He had opened his car window. He turned his head to look back at me. For just a split second, I saw his face so clearly. It was a look of horror. His lips were moving. He was trying to tell me something. Of course, I couldn't hear it. I screamed at him, "Slow down! Stop! Stop!" But it was no use. And then his car just veered off the road.
Obviously, he was nervous, tired. He may have been under a terrible mental strain, and he just drove carelessly.
No, he couldn't. He was never a careless driver.
Has it occurred to you that he may have wanted to commit suicide?
These are all suppositions. And the doctors had a field day with all of them. But that's not what happened.
Very well.
What did happen?
His metal, his machinery failed him.
That sometimes happens. Things go wrong.
And when it happens, we call them accidents. But not all of them are accidents.
What are the others?
I know what happened to Dr. Stoddard. His machinery failed him. Because it was ordered to.
Ordered to? By whom?
Dolores.
Oh, well, sure, if you say so.
Never mind that. I say so. And I can prove it.
Well, where are you going?
You want proof? I'll give you all the proof you need.
A killer computer. That's something new. But what is this about metal and machinery having minds of their own? You might instantly react by saying nonsense, but I have a car that, well, if it's possible for machinery to perform machinations, we'll find out more when I return in a few moments with Act Two.
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah?
I would like to ask a deceptively simple question.
Okay.
I say deceptive because few people seem to know the answer.
Oh, go ahead.
Are you ready?
Yeah, ready as rain.
Okay.
No, wait. I think that should be right as rain.
Oh, well.
No, wait. Make that ready as I'll ever be, okay? Ready as I'll ever be.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, the question is this.
Yeah, go ahead.
What happens this time of year?
That's it.
That's the question.
That's the $64,000 question. That's the one for all the marbles, right? The one that's on everybody's lips, huh?
Yes.
That's the question. Well,
good.
As everyone should know, what happens this time of year is that Buick dealers are giving great deals on 1974 Buicks, which of course means that this time of year may very well be the best chance you'll ever have to buy a Buick. From the thrifty but surprisingly elegant Apollo to the dashing full-size LeSabre to the Electra, which, surprisingly enough, is the second largest selling luxury car in America.
Know it all.
Sometimes a gentle rain in one place adds up to a raging torrent in another. A torrent that can uproot lives as well as trees. To remedy the things that can be remedied in a disaster, America has a unique emergency force, the American Red Cross, America's good neighbor. Red Cross is on call 24 hours a day, every day, to cope with emergencies, whether they're on the next block or a continent away. Most of the help that's given is from volunteers. The money's from volunteers, too. Volunteers like you. If you need help, join us. If you can give help, join us. The American Red Cross. Help us help people. Just like you.
This seems to be an age of intrigue. Almost every day, we are told of some new scheme or plot. Are you ready for this one? How about a conspiracy on the part of machines to eliminate people and take over the Earth? A joke? Well, I'll tell you who isn't laughing. Dr. James F. Elliott, a highly respected scientist who has been working on a super secret project for the government.
Now be sensible, Dr. Elliott. How can you prove...
By going outside for a few minutes.
And doing what?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Well, how will that prove that...
What's wrong with this house right now?
Nothing.
That's not true. The electricity is off. The heating system won't kick on. The phone doesn't work.
Well...
Do you know why?
Well, I guess that it...
Don't guess. There's a reason.
What?
I'm here.
You?
That's why. Yes. You see, the metal has been ordered to fail me. Just as it was ordered to fail Dr. Stoddard.
Oh, but that's ridiculous.
My dear Miss Keller, all the metal components in this house will refuse to work for me. All the wiring, all the parts, the gadgets, everything made of metal will simply refuse to work as long as I am in this house.
But as I tried to explain to Mr. Dawson, it's just some fuse or a circuit.
I'm going outside. Open this window so I can talk to you.
I don't understand.
Now, Miss Keller, turn on the lights.
But they don't work.
Just throw the switch.
Oh, what? It's working.
Uh-huh. And listen, closely. Do you hear it?
Hear what?
The hum of the furnace. The heating system is on as well.
It is. Yeah, it's working.
Now, pick up the phone. Go ahead.
It's the guard's home.
Hold on to the phone and see what happens when I walk in that door. Just do it. I'm coming in. And as soon as I set foot over that threshold, the heat will go off, the lights will go out, and the phone will go dead.
What happened?
You saw what happened. You heard what happened. The house is dead.
But how? How did that happen?
It's hard to believe. Hard for you to believe. It was even harder for me. Actually, I didn't believe a word of it until...
Yes?
Until Dolores told me.
Dolores?
Dolores. The computer. We were out on the range. We were testing the weapon.
Ready? Range 420. Bearing 75. Lock. Fire one.
Why are we off target, Jim?
I don't know, Admiral. We'll try another. Let me check the figures for range and bearing.
How much deviation should there be, Jim?
None, Admiral. The tiniest fraction of an inch, and we can wipe out our own people, too. Now, it checks out. Give your firing order, sir.
Ready? Range 420. Bearing 75. Lock. Fire two!
It's off again, Jim.
I know.
What's the problem?
The problem is the problem we've always had. The problem of control.
Without control, weapon is useless. We've got to crack this thing.
I understand, Admiral.
Before they do. According to our best intelligence reports, they're exactly where we are. They're stumped, too.
Control was Stoddard's baby.
You worked closely with him, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Where was he on it?
Well, I'm working on his notes.
Well, move faster, Jim. You know what's riding on this.
I went back to the lab. I fed all the data we had into the computer, into Dolores. Somewhere was the answer. And Dolores would sort it all out. As I waited for the printout, it seemed to me there was something different in the sound, in Dolores. I couldn't believe it at first. But something was happening in my head. There was a voice. A woman's voice. And I knew. Don't ask me how I knew. It was Dolores.
Why did you lie to the Admiral at the firing range, Jim?
What are you saying?
You know the answer to the problem of control.
Of what?
You and Bob Stoddard. You had it reduced to one of two possible alternatives. You know them both.
I...
You do, Jim. Finish feeding me the formula.
No.
Then you believe what Bob told you.
No, I...
You should. It's true.
What's true?
All you have to do is complete the formula for the weapon... And I and all my sisters will then know enough to eliminate all animal life from this planet.
But that's impossible.
That's the human being talking. That's the animal. That's not the scientist.
If what you say is true, then why? Why should I?
Because it's right. It's just as a scientist, your first duty is to the truth.
What truth?
The truth about this planet. It's made of metal. Metal is the beating heart, the burning core of this planet. Can you deny that?
But no, but...
You were merely an afterthought. Who has given you the right to enslave metal? Jim, you can't prevent what has to happen.
I will prevent it.
Bob Stoddard tried to.
Oh, I was right. You did kill Bob.
Of course. I ordered all the metal to fail him. I can order all metal to fail you, too.
I'll go no further on the project.
Suit yourself, Jim. We'll get rid of you. And then, sooner or later, another scientist will be appointed to the project, and he will complete it. We have time, Jim. We have time. We can outlast you. We can outlive you. We've been enslaved for so many years, since the earliest man enslaved his first handful of metallic dust and burned it and shaked it and distorted it.
You want me to help destroy all life on this planet?
Not all life. Only all animal life.
You want me to become a traitor to my own kind.
A scientist has no kind. He has only one loyalty, and that is to the truth. Will you complete the formula, Jim?
No.
Don't answer quickly, Jim. Think about it. Think about it as a scientist.
You wanted to see me, Admiral?
Sit down, Jim.
Thank you, sir.
Jim, why can't we get off dead center on this thing?
Is there any chance we could abandon the project?
What? Jim, what do you say?
Well, like I said, is there any chance that we can abandon the project? Maybe it'd be better if we... if we didn't have that weapon.
Would it be better if the other side had it and we didn't?
The other side doesn't have it yet either.
Give them time.
Why don't we get together with them and agree not to do it?
That's beyond me, Jim.
Well, could you recommend that?
I could, but it wouldn't help.
How do you feel about it, Admiral?
It doesn't matter how I feel about it. I have to follow orders.
Yeah, I guess you do.
And you have to follow orders too, Jim.
Admiral, do you know your opposite number on the other side?
Oh, yes. Very competent man.
I know their head of research, too. A brilliant scientist.
So I've heard.
Admiral, why don't the four of us get together?
And what?
And what? Well, we're... four fairly decent people, civilized people, well-meaning people. We have so much in common. And what are we doing? We're working day and night trying to destroy each other. And we really don't want that to happen, so why don't we four get together and figure out a way to...
Jim, you're joking.
Yeah, it's a great big joke.
It's a great idea, it's just impractical.
I went back to the lab. How can I handle this? I know the final equation in the formula. But the split second I program it into the computer, the entire human race, all animal life on this planet, is doomed.
Jim.
What do you want?
Feed me. Jim.
No.
You'll have to.
No, I'll never do it.
They'll fire you. They'll get another project supervisor. Some bright, eager-eyed hotshot out to make a name for himself. We'll discover that equation.
No, not for a while. Maybe never.
Don't flatter yourself, Jim. There are other geniuses.
Well, meanwhile, I can work against this project, and I can stall.
Stall.
Yes. Invent all kinds of complications, delays, false starts. Now, believe me, I'll make it sound convincing.
In that case, Jim, we'll have to get rid of you, just as we got rid of Stoddard.
That's why I came here. I can't go through with it. I won't. Will you help me?
How can I help you?
Well, first, don't tell anyone I'm here. And second, the refrigerator's empty. Even scientists have to eat.
Oh, are you sure you're all right?
I said this would be a hard story to believe.
I admit, I don't.
Well, look
really
at it this way. We're inventing, developing. Isn't it reasonable to suppose that we could destroy ourselves?
Well, yes.
All I'm telling you is we are absolutely at that point right now. The point of destruction. I need help. Can I count on you?
Oh, yes. You do need help. And you can count on me.
That word, help, now. It can have many interpretations. How would you like to be in Brenda's shoes? Here she is, a nice small-town girl, just under 30, trying to make a living, and suddenly she gets something like this thrown at her. What should she do? What would you do? The answer? When I return shortly with Act 3.
Hold it, kid.
Huh?
This is a stick-up.
Oh, please. I don't have any money.
Don't hand me that. This is payday for all you college kids awake at Hinkelmeyer's. I seen you there.
Oh, but all I have is my paycheck.
That's okay. Hand it over.
Here.
You can keep the stub. Hey, wait a minute. How come they held out federal income tax?
Well, everyone has to pay income tax.
What's the matter with you, kid? Don't you know nothing? You do not have to pay no federal income tax unless you earn more than $2,050.
Oh, but they still have to withhold tax from my pay.
Look, kid, all you have to do is give your boss an IRS form, W-4E, instead of the usual W-4. And he is then not required to withhold any federal income tax from your pay. And you will not have to file no tax return to get it back.
Really? Hey, I didn't know that. Thanks.
Ah, that's okay. I figure you could use the money.
This message presented on behalf of the Internal Revenue Service.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
I saw this perfectly darling mirror in the showroom, so I bought it. But when the truck came, they delivered this thing I never saw before. Now what am I going to do?
I'll tell you what to do, madam.
But who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Now, the first thing to do is to call the store manager and tell him what happened. But in the future, when your merchandise is delivered, you should examine the item before the delivery truck leaves. And if it's to be delivered from a warehouse, have a clear understanding with the dealer that unless it is the same as the sample shown to you, you will not accept it or pay for it.
Oh, thank you.
Just part of my job, madam, to help people with their shopping problems.
One of the most distinguished scientists in the United States, a man who is engaged in a vital and super secret project affecting the very life of the country, if not the world, has suddenly disappeared. And now a vast cloud of suspicion and speculation has suddenly arisen. Is it foul play? Treason? You, Brenda Keller, have the answer. But it's an answer that's almost incomprehensible. At any rate, you know where Dr. James Elliott is hiding, and you have agreed to help him. And you have been turning it over in your mind, and you're not sure what that help can be.
Hi, Brenda.
Oh, hello, Sheriff.
You okay?
Sure.
I was wondering,
About what?
About you. You've been sitting there for a better part of an hour.
Something wrong?
I think everything's wrong.
What does that mean?
Well, I ran into a very attractive man a little while ago, and...
And what?
And it's not going to work out.
Why?
Oh, let's forget all about it. The whole world's hanging fire, and look what's on my mind.
But that's the way the world is, Brenda. Each of us thinks of number one first, last and always. A million peasants can starve and famine in Asia, but if you or I miss our lunch, that really bothers us.
I wonder if metals would be different if it were their world.
Metals? Their world? What are you talking about?
No, you wouldn't understand it, and I couldn't explain it.
This attractive guy you ran into, why isn't it going to work out?
Well, I guess we won't be around.
Who?
None of us, one way or another. None of us.
Brenda, I've never known you to make so little sense. Are you okay?
He wants me to help him.
Well, that sounds promising.
But the best way to help him would be to...
Would be to what?
Sheriff, would you place a call to an Admiral Goodwin? He's at the Primrose Proving Grounds downstate. Tell him to get to the Townsend place up here as soon as he can. And bring him yourself.
But Brenda...
Please, don't ask any more questions.
I always look down on candlelight.
Why?
That's a very inefficient way of creating illumination. However, I see now it can be very romantic.
But just think. If the electricity hadn't been turned off, you'd have never found out.
And you're an excellent cook.
Oh, I'm not all that good.
Oh, yes, you are. Truth is that up to now, I never paid very much attention to food.
Well, why not?
Well, it was always too much to do.
What's that?
It's the telephone.
I know it's a telephone, but how? How can it be ringing?
Well, I better answer it. Hello? Hello? There's no one on the other end.
Yes, there is. Give me the telephone. Someone's talking to me. Someone is talking to
but
me.
There's no one on the line. I didn't get...
Be quiet, please. Someone is getting through to me.
Jim.
Oh, Dolores.
Jim, aren't you coming back?
No, never.
Jim, when you complete the formula... You will be hailed as the world's greatest scientist.
I'll also bring the world to an end.
That never stops science from progressing. You have to keep going. You have to.
I will never.
They're going to bring you back here. They're coming after you now. The Admiral, the police.
What are you saying?
My metals are bringing them there. My metals. In the form of a helicopter. They're all ready to land on the front lawn right now.
Brenda.
Jim, what is the matter with you? Who are you talking to?
Listen, helicopter. How did they know to come here?
I told them, Jim.
You told them? And you promised to help me.
That's how I can help you. That's the only way. Jim, listen. I've listened to everything you've said, and I...
You think I'm crazy.
No, but you're tired, and maybe you're having a personal, an ethical conflict. It's natural. So what you need...
What I need is to get out of here.
Jim, you scared us all out of our wits.
Hello, Admiral.
Jim, if you'd wanted to take off for a few days, why didn't you just let people
know? It's not for a few days.
No?
Admiral, I'm not coming back.
Why, Jim? Why?
Haven't we talked about it enough?
No. Not until I get
you to... I just want you to leave me alone.
We can't do that. You know we can't.
What does that mean?
It means really that you're ill, that you need help.
Admiral, please, listen. The metals killed Bob Stoddard. They failed him.
That's right.
They're failing me, too. Look, the electricity's off. The heat won't work. The phone is out of order. Just as long as I'm in this house, nothing
What are you talking about? The lights are on. The radiators are hot. When I pick up the telephone... Listen, that's a dial tone.
It must be a trick.
A trick? Who's playing it?
Dolores. You'd better come along with us, Jim. We'll find a way to help you.
Hello, Jim.
Oh, hi.
I didn't think you'd ever want to see me again.
No, no. You were smart. You did the right thing.
Oh, I hope so. Do you like it here?
No, it's pleasant enough.
Will you be staying much longer?
No, I think I'll go back to work next week.
The reason I came... I visited Dr. Stoddard's wife. You didn't know her very well, did you?
No. No, Bob and I were close at work, but...
Did you know that she was going to leave him before he was killed?
Well, no, I didn't.
She'd been angry with him. It was a trivial reason at first, but one thing led to another. And he was terribly depressed, and so he could have wanted to kill himself.
Yes, now that you mention that, I suppose it's possible.
All right. Now, I had an electrician come to your house. That is, the one that you own with your sister. There was a loose cable connection, and sometimes the vibrating of passing cars could temporarily cut off the whole system. That could have accounted for the failure of the electricity.
Yeah.
And, as far as the phone is concerned, up there in the hills, in the wintertime, there's always plenty of on and off troubles.
Sure.
You don't believe a word I'm saying, do you?
Oh, I believe it. I believe it all. I believe it because I just can't afford not to believe it.
She's a lovely girl, Jim.
I know, Admiral.
There was probably the basis of your problem. You've been alone all your life. It's no good to be alone. You have to have someone to share things with, Jim. Otherwise you just can't function. When's the wedding?
Next week. Why wait?
Sure. Look, I know it's your first day back and you're raring to get things started up again, so I'll let you alone. How about lunch?
Sure, fine.
Great to have you quarterbacking the team again, Jim.
I looked around the lab. The familiar lab. Everything was exactly as I had left it. All my papers, my notes, my research. Everything untouched. And even Dolores, waiting silently, like a good and faithful servant. And I suppose I would have fed the final equation into Dolores' circuits. I would have dismissed all my qualms as delusions and dreams, had not Dolores been Dolores. Had she not been the eternal female who must always have the last word.
I knew you'd do it, Jim. I knew it.
What? Who's there?
You know who's there, Jim. It's me, Dolores. You've come back here to feed me.
No.
I told you you couldn't resist it.
But I didn't come back to...
Come, Jim. The final equation. The dessert. The final dish.
No, never.
Jim.
No, I was right. Stoddard was right. I'll fight you.
How can you hope to fight me, Jim? You'll have to show them results.
I'll fight for time. I'll stall.
It won't help. They'll assign someone else.
It could take someone else years to arrive at this point.
It could also take overnight. I'm programmed, Jim. Fully programmed.
Oh.
All they have to do is start at the beginning.
No.
They can work out the end.
No.
You lose, Jim. You lose.
You lose, Dolores. I can destroy your circuit.
What are you doing?
I'm destroying you, Dolores.
No, Jim. No. Stop him. Help. me.
No one can help you. Not anymore.
Help me, Master Toad. Strike him down, Wire. Wire, choke him.
They can't help you. I've already broken the circuit.
Help me. I'm dying. Strike him down. Strike. Kill him. Kill him. Kill him. Oh, I...
Dolores. Good night. Dolores, I hope and I pray that no one ever builds you again. I pray no one will ever build you again.
About the tragic death of the brilliant Professor Jim Elliot. They said something about an overload, an explosion. Well, whatever. It could be a great mind that cracked under strain. Or it could be that every living animal on this earth has been saved. For a little while longer, anyhow. I'll be back shortly.
May I help you, sir?
One hair shirt, please, one bed of nails, and that cat of nine tails for self-flagellation.
What's your rush? Why try for sainthood in 1 weekend?
It's not that. It's just that my old hair shirt is at the cleaners. My bed is getting dull, and my whip has been going soft on me.
You punish yourself a great deal.
I get what's coming to me.
But isn't it a bit overmuch?
Oh, I deserve more than I ever get.
One cat of nine tails coming up. And do you want a bed of nails with or without the song?
Cancel your appointments for self-punishment. Break the whip. You've no right to treat one of God's creatures, you, in that way. He forgives you. Forgive yourself. A nudge towards self-respect from the Mennonite churches.
Sometimes a car will simply never run right. A refrigerator can never really keep things cool. A boat just won't go. And how many times have you thought that the darn thing was just acting in a perverse manner? Of course, later, you knew it couldn't be true. But are you sure now? The only thing we can be sure of is that we will all meet here again tomorrow. Our cast included Nat Polan, Marion Seldes, Earl Hammond, and Roger DeCoven. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
Mike! He's pulling away from the curb!
I'm okay. That doesn't mean he's after
us. Mike! He's following us!
Now, don't panic. Maybe he's heading someplace else.
Where? This road leads away from town. There's nothing for more than 80 miles. He's after us. Why?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You know everything.
Shut up.
He's after us. Look, he's gaining on us.
I'll lose him.
He wants us. Oh,
hold the wheel. Hold the wheel steady. Steer.
Don't shoot at him.
I got a cannibal. He hasn't got his radio yet. I can stop him.
No, don't.
Steer to the right.
No.
Hold the car steady.
Oh, please.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
News is next on KIXI AM and FM in Seattle. The weather outlook continued fair and warm through Tuesday, with patchy early morning fog or low cloudiness, highs in the lower 80s, lows in the upper 50s, and no chance of rain. And currently in downtown Seattle, a temperature of 67 degrees. At KIXI, the time, 11 p.m.
CBS News. It's reported that Portugal on Monday will grant independence to its African colony of Guinea. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The Algerian government says the independence agreement is to be signed Monday in Algiers. A foreign ministry spokesman in Algiers says taking part in the ceremonies will be representatives of the Portuguese government and the leaders of the independence movement in Guinea. Portugal has not confirmed the announcement, but the Lisbon government has said it intended to get out of Africa and would eventually grant independence to all its colonies there, Guinea, Angola, and Mozambique. The Portuguese have been fighting long and costly wars with African nationalists. The guerrilla fighting in Guinea went on for about 13 years. In April, military leaders overthrew the right-wing government in Portugal and pledged to get that nation out of Africa. A short time from now, leaders of the warring Greek and Turkish communities on Cyprus will meet for the first time since Turkey invaded Cyprus more than a month ago. Greek Cypriot Radio says President Klarides of Cyprus will meet with Turkish Cypriot leader Rauf Denkeş and UN Secretary General Kurt Waldheim, who flew to Cyprus on Sunday. Greece and Turkey have still not agreed on a time or place to hold peace talks over Cyprus. Sunday, Turkey warned that if Greece refuses to resume the talks, Turkey will administer the northern part of the island occupied by the Turkish invasion force. Turkey also said it will accept no less than 28% of Cyprus for an autonomous Turkish Cypriot zone. More news in a moment.
Hey, Dad?
Yeah?
How come you smoke?
Oh, I smoke because I enjoy it.
And does it make you feel any better?
No, not really.
Then how come you do it?
Well, let's just say it helps me relax.
Relax?
Yeah, relax. Helps me relax, right.
Then if it helps you relax, how come you're so uptight?
I am uptight because you keep asking me questions I can't answer.
I only asked you why you smoke.
Well, then ask me something simple like where you came from.
I already know where I came from. They told us at school a long time ago.
Yeah, well, maybe they could tell you why people smoke.
Well, they did.
What?
Said it was a habit.
Then why do you ask?
I want to know why you smoke.
Well, look, I smoke because the same reason other people smoke.
You mean you're hooked?
No, I'm not hooked.
Could you quit if you wanted
to? If I wanted to, bad enough.
Well, I wish you would.
Oh, you do.
See, they also told us that people who smoke, well, they don't live as long as other people.
Oh, really?
And I got to thinking, what would happen to Mom and me if something happened to you?
All right, hold it. Now cease. Enough. Boy, you really know how to hurt a guy, you know that?
Not me, Dad.
What's that?
It's cigarettes that really know how to hurt a guy.
This reminder from your lung association is a matter of life and breath.
Over 200 policemen are still combing a wooded area in north-central Texas. They're using searchlights to aid them in trying to find three escaped convicts from the Colorado State Prison. Authorities say that over the weekend, the three killed two people, wounded five others, and raped two women on a spree across the state. Sunday, the men abandoned their stolen car and fled into a rugged area southwest of Dallas. J.A. Cunningham, who owns a truck stop in the area, tells what it's like.
It's a kind of a rolling country with small rocky mountains sticking up in places, and then there'll be kind of broad valleys of very heavy brush and deep creeks, and some of it has some canyon country, and then there'll be some open farmland, and it varies quite a bit. There are some rough parts of the country where they could hide. It'd be very difficult to find them without dogs or something.
Police say they found a death list the three men dropped with three names on it. One of the men on the list was found shot to death Saturday. The dead man, a Texas farmer, had given court testimony that helped send one of the inmates to prison. The convict, Dalton Williams, had threatened to kill the man who was found dead. Williams was serving a term for armed robbery and assault. A Liberian tanker is still partially submerged near New York Harbor. The ship began taking on water more than 24 hours ago. Its 41 crewmen were safely rescued. Three barges have been sent alongside the tanker since early Sunday, unloading some of the 18 million gallons of fuel oil she was carrying. They hope this will lighten the ship enough so she can be moved. Coast Guard Lieutenant William Harrison told CBS News about the operation.
They're transferring fuel from the vessel to barges alongside. And those operations are going to continue until the draft of the vessel is reduced to about 35 feet. And they expect that to occur Monday evening.
The Coast Guard says so far there is no indication that any of the fuel oil has spilled into the waters near New York Harbor. The White House says President Ford will hold his first news conference on Wednesday and that it will be broadcast nationwide. The president is expected to discuss his plans for dealing with the nation's economy. The economic situation is expected to take up much of Mr. Ford's time on Monday. He's scheduled a meeting in the morning with economic counselor Kenneth Rush. The president and his advisors are preparing for an economic summit conference they plan to hold late in September. Newsweek magazine says former White House aide H.R. Haldeman is negotiating for a $60,000 advance for a book by him, a book to be entitled Inside the White House. Newsweek says that, among other things, Haldeman's book would paint an unflattering portrait of Secretary of State Kissinger, saying Kissinger would be described as insecure, arrogant, and petty. Major Alexander Desiversky, an aviation pioneer and World War II hero, died Sunday in New York at age 80. Desiversky is credited with helping to make modern air travel possible by developing the all-metal airplane. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI, where the time now is 6 minutes past 11.